Welcome to the 10th episode of the It's Been Said podcast. I'm your host, SAI Executive Director Lisa Ramey. Each show is dedicated to conversations on leadership as we further SAI's mission to support, encourage, and develop Iowa's educational leaders and learners. We're excited this month to welcome Elementary Principal of the Year, Dana Nally from Bedford, Middle Level Principal of the Year, Toby Young from MMCRU, and Secondary Principal of the Year, Jake Feldman from Western Dubuque. Listen as they share challenges they've faced and overcome, how they involve student and staff voice and foster innovation and creativity and experience in the role itself. We'll get started with our first question, and Dana, I'll let you be respond first. So what are some of the challenges you have faced as a principal, and tell our listeners how you have overcome those challenges?
I think one of the biggest obstacles is probably finding that balance between the instructional leadership side of being a principal and the management side of being a principal. If the management side can kind of take over your day-to-day operations if you allow it. So I think that that's a hard task to kind of find a good balance between that. For me, I think I'm a very organized person. So as I was the first principal and became more familiar with what was needed with the management side, then I was able to get some of those things done ahead or make a plan so that I had a better balance between the two.
Thank you. How about you, Toby?
Yeah, I think for me, as the middle school principal and also the elementary principal here as well, I think it's managing the many hats that like small districts have, figuring out, what we can look at in regards to our instruction, our teaching and learning, the models that we use, the ever-changing things that are thrown at all school districts across the state of Iowa, just balancing that out. And then I think really, it's not really a challenge. I think it's more of a something that I really, really think is a skill set of mine, which is building relationships and really just trying to encompass and learn from all of our staff, because all of them bring value to our district, and really trying to figure out how they can best serve not only our district, but our students, and put our district in position to be as successful as it can be.
Fantastic. And Jake, what are some of those challenges you faced, and how have you overcome those?
I think our biggest challenge we have, I think one of the most important parts of our job is actually hiring and retaining in education. And I'd say over the last 5 years, for sure, just that component of having the workforce out there for our teachers, for our hourly people, trying to bring them on board, and it's just less and less every year. I remember one of the first jobs in social studies, we'd have 99 applicants, and if I get 5 to 7, I'd be very lucky to have. So what we're trying to do is just be proactive, getting our master schedule things done early, and then knowing who we have to hire, and then getting that out, January, February now. It used to be where you could hire in April, May, and that is really no longer an opportunity for us. So yep, that is probably our biggest challenge right now. Even the hourly, staying competitive. We're in a manufacturing world over in this area, and to try to be competitive with our wages for hourly is just as hard. So just trying to get that word out there and celebrate about education and getting people involved and wanting to work in the schools is an important part for us.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know I hear that probably every time I talk to an educator about hiring and how challenging that has become. So vastly different than what we were used to. All right, Toby, you're going to get to start this response. Sure. What are some of the most important things you have learned as a principal?
I think just it being an education in itself, and then moving into a leadership role, I've always been in leadership positions myself, whether it be in coaching or, I'm building leadership teams or whatever that is. I've kind of found myself in those positions throughout my career. But I think some of the things that I've learned, regardless of what your role is in your district, you are a leader, and we have to find those students, and we have to find those individuals, such as our anybody that serves on a leadership team, or encourage those people that are great at what they do to make that impact and continue to make that impact. Education for me personally is so rewarding, and what we bring to our kids and our families every day, We make a tremendous impact. Our job is to serve others and to lead in the most positive way that we possibly can. And I think over time, I think sometimes we lose sight of that because there can be some frustrations that go on within our profession. And I think that the more we understand that the value we bring and the impact we have, the better our job is every day. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to want to throw in the towel. But at the same time, I think that, some of the most important things that I've learned as a principal is that, the people we surround ourselves with, 180 days a year and throughout the summer are some of the best people we're going to come into contact with. And we get to, lead them and hopefully send them on their way when they're done with us. And they go out and they're very successful individuals in their own personal lives.
Yeah, for sure. Focus on the positive. All right, Jake, how about you? What's the most important things you've learned?
Probably the most important thing is family first, making sure that you're taking care of your home, because we can't take care of home. You first started in administration, and the principal component of sometimes you're just so overwhelmed with everything going on. I just had a daughter who graduated my first one, and I went to her last dance competition and I watched her dance 15 years ago. So it makes me really want to make sure that I've learned to focus on that first. Second is taking care of your people within your building. That's your family, your work family. Take care of them first, build relationships first. The rest will come. I truly believe that's the most important key. We don't build programs. We support people and then the programs come from that. So that would be what I'd say is the most important thing I've learned over the last 6 years of being the principal.
Awesome. And Dana?
Yeah, I think some of the most important things I've learned is first, make all of your decisions based upon what's best for kids, even the tough decisions, even unpopular decisions. I had a superintendent tell me once that if you make all your decisions based upon what's best for kids, you can sleep at night. And totally agreed with her. And I've thought about that several times throughout my career. So I think that is, I try to keep that in mind whenever I'm making some tough decisions. I also agreed a lot with what Toby and Jake were saying, especially there, Jake, where I think, our jobs are extremely important, but not near as important as our family. If we can't take care of ourselves and our family, then we can't take care of the people that we are around every day in our building. So I think it's very important to find that good balance between being able to be there for your work family and being there for your home family as well. And then surrounding yourself with strong leaders. I've always felt like that. I'm a better leader if I can surround myself with strong leaders. And so whether that's students or teachers or paraprofessionals, the support staff, anybody like that, they all have different leadership roles depending upon the need. But I think whenever you surround yourself with them and you listen to them, give them a voice, you find out you have a lot of experts in your building that make your building even stronger.
Yeah. So you guys talk about taking care of yourselves first. What are some of the things you do to make sure that you prioritize taking care of yourself and your families?
For me, I probably learned that the hard way. When I first started out in education, I have two boys and they were really young. And I spent a lot of time at school, a lot of time doing school work and bringing school work home. And then I, quickly realized that there had to be a time when you kind of shut some things off. Not that you can always shut things off, but shut some things off a little bit, spend the time with the family, do the things that, my boys wanted, just to be there with them. Just taking care of yourself, like physically and mentally, whether that's exercising or whatever your hobby is, to kind of decrease some of that stress. But once I was decreasing some of that stress at work, that it was also decreasing some of that stress at home, and it just all kind of flowed better. But I think you always have to keep your eye on that. I know all professions have stressful parts to it, but I whenever it can become challenging and frustrating, I think you have to keep your eye on the bigger prize. For me, is my family at home.
Yeah. Thanks, Dana. Toby or Jake, anything to add?
I think there was
go ahead, Jake.
There was I remember they had a stop sign in their garage. So when you pulled into the garage door, there was a stop sign. It just reminded you. I don't have that, but every time I pull into the garage, it reminds me of like, hey, This is a separate entity where I'm at. Be present where you're at. If I'm at home, you know, it's tough. I'm still working sometimes, but I'm still taking phone calls. But just be a president in those conversations. If you're going somewhere, you're going to a softball game or you're going to practice or whatever, just be present with your family so that you have that opportunity. Because it's really easy to get on the phone. It's really easy to look at emails or whatever. That stop sign really makes me think about, you know, be present when you're at home. When you come to work, then you turn the work hat on. Hard to do, but it's just that reminder of it.
Yeah, I would agree with Jake and Dana. It's one of those things where I think we're all carrying something or many things. There are a lot of things on our plates daily. And, you know, with that, I think you really have to understand that, you know, your personal life is very, very important to you, and to have that balance, I think, is crucial. You know, I think I would say most administrators, you know, you're always, you know, checking email, you're always on the phone. People are coming at you in a lot of different directions because everyone's sometimes problems are now yours on your plate. And how do you go, okay, hey, let's take a step back. Let's just think about this. I think you want to react in a lot of ways to things. And I think sometimes you got to take a step back and listen, and you don't have to always fix everything right now. Some things can wait. I think a lot of us try to be the ones that are going to mend those things and make them better and fix them right away. And I think for us as leaders, we have to really step back and go, okay, these are things that are important. How important really are they in the moment? And I think sometimes, you know, you get so invested in your job and what you do that you kind of lose sight of other things that are really important, which is your family. And I think that, you know, for us, I just think you have to find what balance works for you. That work-life balance, I think, is different for everybody. I like to be busy, but at the same time, you know, I need that time away where you can decompress and really not take home all that's going on at your job and work, and just, you know, focus your time on your family and your kids and go from there.
Yeah, thank you all. I think this, you know, has led right into our next question. And Jake, I'll let you respond first. So what advice would you give to aspiring principals?
Yeah, that's funny. The first thing that I have down is number one is family first. I know it's really tough. I remember the first couple of years. And still, yeah, those first couple of years, you wanted to make sure that you knew the ins and outs of your job. And I think that was important for me. So family first is an important part to remember. But also the thing I learned from that is build leadership within the organization. You can take all these things on and be here, you know, 80 hours a week. But at the same time, you're not building the capacity of your assistants or your office or your teachers or your students. So, you know, make sure you put a structure in place to build that leadership, take time for that, because that's going to help everybody out. I always had the idea of if I wasn't here a day, this building would still run as normal. And that's what, after a couple of years, it took me to do that. And now I sit here, and if I'm not here, everything is okay. If our assistant principal's not here, or activities director or secretary. So build leadership. And I think one of the things that I've really taken a strived on is knowing the why in every decision. I tell the students, I tell the staff, I tell the community, know the why. If they come in and ask why I made a decision, I have a sound answer on that why. Not everybody's going to agree with that why, but they know the why that we have. So always know your why based off the vision that you have.
Dana.
Yeah, advice were similar to what Jake was saying there, and similar to what things I'd learned as a principal. But the first piece of advice I had was, you know, again, always make your decisions based upon what's best for kids. Take care of yourself. It's a stressful job, and you can't take care of others if you haven't taken care of yourself. I think it's also really important to work on building those relationships within your building, whether that's with students, whether that's with teachers, parents, fellow administrators. I think a positive culture is vital to that learning environment in your building. And so I think that's a constant thing you have to maintain. You have to work really hard to get that culture, and then to maintain it is also hard. So I think that is very important. Model what you want. If you want something in your building, you need to model it. You kind of walk the walk and not just talk the talk. So again, I think that is big on culture building. If your staff sees that you are displaying the behaviors or the leadership qualities or whatever the expectation is, then they're more likely to do those same things. And then I think the last piece of advice that I would have for a new administrator, when you're making those decisions, be consistent. Treat everyone the same. That's why, follow your policies, follow your handbook, whatever, you're looking at there, but always be consistent. Whether you're dealing with students or parents or staff, people are going to pick up on that very quickly if you are not. So I think you'll save yourself a lot of headaches in the future if you just, start out that way and be consistent. And it's not always a popular choice, but it's the right choice.
Fantastic. And Toby?
Yeah, I echo all the things that Jake and Dana said. I would just add to that, that the family and individual thing, I think, as a first year administrator, probably second year administrator, now going finishing year 10. It's kind of one of those things for me that I probably didn't model everything that I expected from staff, because I was really I was burning the candle at both ends. And it was very hard because I invested a lot of time, in my job and maybe not as much in the family and individual side of it. I think we can probably all relate to that. We get really stuck in and invested in what we want to do because we want to do it so well. And I think that, over time that's changed. So as an aspiring principal, I always encourage them to understand that work will be here. Like it will. It's something that you have to understand, that you got to take care of your family and your individual self first. Everything will fall into place. You have to be invested in not only your position, but in the people that are in your building. Be invested in those individuals. Get to know them. They're not just a teacher. They're not just a para. They are people. You have to get to know them. One of the things that I've always done is, and show up at events, things that they're leading or things that they're a part of. I think that you have to be present where you are. You can't just be the principal. You have to, in a lot of ways, show up at events and be there and support them and, really try to, be the best model, like Dana said, of what you expect of your staff and your students, because people are watching, students are watching. And they want you to be present, but at the same time, just model what you expect, like Dana said, and everything else will work out.
Yeah, I can certainly hear a relationship thread through all of your answers. Not surprised at all. All right, Dana, what are some of the things you are most proud of about your school?
Well, one of the things that I'm the most proud of is the National Blue Ribbon Award that we have won. We've won those twice since I have been the principal here at Bedford. And so obviously very proud of that. But to get to those awards, something that I'm proud of is that helped us get that recognition is that culture that we have within our building. I have some tremendous staff members and students in my building, and we have taken on a big initiative a few years ago on a leadership program. And that leadership program has given our students a voice. It gives our staff a voice. I think it helps our staff see our students in a little bit different light. And because of that, promoting that student leadership in the building, the kids take a lot of ownership in the building. They understand that there's, procedures and right ways and wrong ways to get their voice heard. And once they are able to start realizing that when they do have something that they see a change in the building or something small, they're little things, but to the kids they're huge, and they have a voice all of a sudden. Well, now they're all of a sudden very proud to be in Bedford Elementary and take a lot of initiative, and it all just kind of seems like everything you want them to do becomes easier because they've kind of invested themselves in that. So I think our leadership programs that has changed our culture in the building is one of the most things I'm proud of.
Thank you. Toby, how about at MMCRU?
Yeah, it kind of starts from the beginning. So when I first started here at Remsen Union, I was a 6 through 12 principal. That was the first 3 years. And then the last seven, we are now MMCRU Royals. So we are in our seventh year of whole grade sharing with Marcus Merritt and Cleghorn. It has turned in from year one to, 3 or 7 to be just an outstanding partnership. A lot of positive things going on within our building and our district. We have outstanding support from our communities, from our businesses, We have an unbelievable career and technical education department at our high school that is second to none in the state of Iowa, in my opinion. There are so many wonderful things going on in both of our buildings and our districts. You know, I think that being the only building administrator other than our shared soup that is here, you know, I get to see the day in, day out, all of the wonderful staff that we have and the students that we have. You know, I feel like sometimes we're spoiled in smaller school districts where, you know, maybe, you know, the things that we get to see, the class sizes, we have around 50 kids per class. There are just a lot of positives. Academically, our kids are very strong at our middle school. We have a lot of leadership opportunities for our kids to be a part of in our ag. We're a big ag industry. A lot of ag business things are going on, or FFA. You know, I think that for us, when we first started to where we are now, Remsen Union is an outstanding school district. MMC is an outstanding school district. And we've now come together and made one great district. And I'm just so proud of where we were and now where we are. And I just think that, you know, the sky's the limit. We have a massive building project that will be finished here within the year that will continue to, you know, set us apart from schools in Northwest Iowa and, you know, hopefully across the state, and we'll just keep getting better from there.
Fantastic. And Jake, how about at Western Dubuque?
Yeah, one of the first things we did here was about 5-6 years ago is when you walked in the entrance of Western Dubuque High School, we put a sticker down there that covers the entire entryway. It says every Bobcat matters. I think that had the biggest impact, extremely proud of, because it says that every Bobcat matters. It doesn't matter who you are, student, staff, community member, does not make a difference. But there, it's not just a sticker on the ground. It's an accountability component. And I think that's kind of led our vision of where we're at today. It's helped us with, we have a project. First year decided it's important for me. I grew up with giving back to our communities. We're a bunch of small communities, one high school, you know, 16, 17 towns. Service learning is something that we took pride in. So I brought in service the very first year of service day. It was just our staff led this with all 900 some kids. That was 6 years ago. Now we have a service learning kids with a couple hundred kids in it, where they're putting on service days. They're out mentoring every day to the elementaries. It's more than just a day. We have a Christmas dinner now that we serve about 1,200 community members that come in that our staff and students lead. Just a lot of different projects that we do, random acts of kindness that our service learning kids do for our students and our staff. I'm extremely proud of that. And then the third thing is the student and staff feedback. We here, along with our instructional coach, our lead team, get a lot of student feedback. I have a leadership team that I meet with twice a month, and then I have a student life, which is nominated by staff, a well-diverse group of students that I meet with once a month. And then I have a staff feedback team that they meet with me once a month, our admin team, and gain that feedback. And it gains a lot of a vision for us, concerns, questions, growth, whatever that is. And that has helped us, you know, get a lot of student feedback that it takes a lot of time, 936 students and 108 staff members. We meet with them individually throughout the year a couple of times. And that's something extremely beneficial for us and makes West Dubuque, you know, makes me proud of the vision that we have for West Dubuque.
Yeah, for certain. Okay, Toby, what are some of the goals as you've talked about what you're proud of now as you look to the future? What are some of the goals that you have for MMCRU?
Yep, I think, you know, it kind of comes back to, you know, when we first started about 7 years ago, you know, as MMCRU being Royals, what's that look like? You know, setting the example, coming back to our core values, you know, in relation to, you know, our mission statement, you know, and setting our students up for success now and into the future. You know, I think that for us, our goals are to continue to, you know, build relationships with our students, families, and have strong, successful programs for all of our kids as they go throughout, you know, elementary, middle school, and high school. And then set them off to be as successful individuals as they possibly can be. You know, I think that, you know, we're rooted in a lot of very successful things now. I think the goals for us are to continue to hire outstanding staff members. I think Jake said that early on. That is huge. I agree 100% with what Jake said. The opportunity to find quality individuals and keep them within your district for a long period of time is becoming very hard. And then just to find one quality individual for a position is very hard. So we've talked administratively, what can we do? What can we do with our district to really attract people here? Because I think that, you know, we're very competitive and people are trying all sorts of different things to get people to come to their school district. And I think a major goal for us is to continue to, you know, showcase what we currently do and then also figure out ways in which we can, you know, get people to see that, you know, MMCRU is an outstanding district and why we want them to join, you know, our team and be a part of something great. So.
Jake, how about goals?
Well, our ultimate goal that we have is be an exceptional category for the IRA report card. And that goes off the academics along with the, you know, conditions of learning. That's all tied on growth. And we've had the last probably 8-9 years, ever since it's come out, we've been really trying to shoot for that exceptional category. Now, based off of some of the information and, you know, our SIAC and all of that information, the data we get back, you know, when we're a 3A, 4A school, along with 26 to 27 kids in a class, how do we teach? One of the goals is to teach more to the individual than to the class. So we're really working on that last year and going to continue with that work this coming year. And within that, from our SIAC, some of our, from our students, they say, like, we need more rigor. And I don't know if that means, hey, I need more AP or college level. No, what it really means, I think, is we need more rigor within that classroom. And if we teach it to more individualized, we teach more individualized, that will help out with that rigor within each class. So those couple of goals, I think, along with everything else that we're doing, will help continue to strive to get to that exceptional category.
Fantastic. And Dana, how about at Bedford? What goals do you have for the future?
Well, we want to continue effective instructional strategies have always been a strong focus in the elementary building here. So we want to continue with that. We want to continue to create strong leaders within our students and give them those leadership skills that they need. So when they leave our elementary doors, you know, they can become leaders in the middle school and high school and beyond, because ultimately, you know, our goal is to create students and help them become students that are productive once they leave our doors. And, you know, when they're leaving my doors, they're just going down the hallway to the middle school. But hopefully we're instilling some skills in them that when they leave the doors of, you know, Bedford High School, that, you know, they're ready for the world out there. They're ready to become productive citizens. And, you know, hopefully if we're lucky, some of them move back in and help our community, you know, continue to grow and flourish. But I mean, ultimately, I think just creating the academic environment and the cultural environment that we have here, keep that strong and help our students be ready for the real world.
Yeah. So you guys, you know, I heard a theme about leaders and making sure that in different ways you're empowering staff, students to become leaders. So Jake, how do you involve students and staff in that decision-making and provide opportunities where they can, that you've empowered them to be leaders? And if you have an example, that's great.
Yeah. Again, I talked a little bit about that before. So I have a staff team we meet weekly, and I use that group, and it's all voluntary. I send them, it used to go around the building and, you know, try to find out who had prep and get some input from them as I need on some of my decisions. But these, I send to my feedback team this year, and it's worked out fantastically. So I'll send them questions, or I'll meet with them once a month. They'll give me feedback. They'll give me professional feedback as a leader. They'll give my assistant principal and my activities director feedback. We'll do surveys. It all goes through that feedback team. And that has been better for everybody, because everybody, it's voluntarily, and also people feel like, hey, they're being heard. And then with the students, and I guess with the staff, every Friday I meet 9:15 with our leadership team, which is our admin team, our instructional coaches, our head cook, our head custodian, our head secretary, and we meet every week and we develop what So no surprises for the next week. And I send out a weekly email with all the events that are going on. So that's another way that we build that leadership within our team. And then my two student organizations, my leadership students and my student life. And what that's developed is meeting with them once to twice a month. And then after I meet with them, they actually come to my office and our admin team, they ask us questions that we do a Teams meeting to all students. So all students get to hear what those questions were. We kind of decide throughout those meetings, like, what do you want to ask us in this? So once a month, all of our students get to hear about the questions, concerns, or giving us feedback, that live component. And that's been very helpful. At the beginning, when we started this, I had more like students and staff, when they don't know something, they make up stories in their brains. This is full communication to them. And it ended up in the end of the year, hey, we're lack of parking or just minor things. And I'm like, this is great. If this is where we're at, kids know where they're at. So those four really components have built leadership within our students and our staff.
Thank you for sharing that. Dana, I know you talked a little bit about building leaders. Can you expand and give them other specific examples for us?
Yeah. Well, with students, we are bulldogs here at Bedford. So our leadership program in our elementary is called Leaders of the Pack. And so it's a version of Leader in Me from Franklin Covey. But our students, all of our K-5 students, they either apply for a job or an apprenticeship, but those jobs are all based upon a lot of service learning, building betterment, such as a kindness group. They do random acts of kindness for others in the building. We have groups that buddy up with community members, businesses in our community, learn about what that might entail, learn about some of the goals that those business people have maybe for our community or for our school. So they do a lot of those kinds of things, but they take a lot of pride in the school because they're given a voice. And through that, some of the service learning or through some of the groups or apprenticeships they are involved in here at the school, if they have a concern, and again, it might be something simple. They came up with a brilliant idea. For an example, on the playground, they were having trouble getting, when second and third grade are out there together, they were having trouble getting the balls. You know, they would end up with third grade balls and they were second graders and that kind of thing. The kids came up with, how about if we color code the balls? And this is Natalie, wouldn't that make a lot of sense? And, you know, I'm like, I hadn't thought of that. So they do give you a different perspective. Again, they're simple things, but the kids take a lot of initiative and pride in knowing that they have a voice. And I think that giving them that power is very powerful in the school. With my staff, I have a very strong leadership team that we meet with to kind of make sure we're on the same track and we stay on our vision for our professional development, our weekly collaboration. But I am a firm believer that all teachers have the potential to be leaders at one time or another, kind of depending on what you're needing. And anytime that I can give all of the teachers a voice or have them part of the decision-making process, I certainly do. I think they all have times whenever they can step up and be leaders. They all have a different perspective. And some of them come with some, you know, fantastic ideas that maybe that leadership team and I have not thought of. So I try to include as many people in the decision-making process as I can. And I think that that gives them that voice and it empowers them as well.
And Toby, how do you empower students and staff to be leaders?
Yeah, I think feedback is crucial on both ends from students and staff. I send out, a monthly feedback form to, our student council is pretty large for a school our size in our middle school. We have around 50 students on our student council. We started about 3 years ago, I think it was three or four, where we do a monthly service project throughout our communities and in Northwest Iowa, where our students are able to give back to not only in Rems and Marcus, Meriden or Cleghorn, but also in Northwest Iowa. And it's really caught on. So we have kids all the time coming and going, okay, what else can we do for others? And I think that's a real big thing. I think the feedback that you get from your staff in regards to, what's going on within your building and your organization is crucial. I think that feedback, it needs to be honest. I want to know how, as a leader, I can be better, but I also want to know how we as a district can be better as well. And sometimes it's just little things here or there that I think as a building leader, you don't maybe think of. Like Dana said, just little things that's like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think that, you know, your staff has fantastic ideas. And like Dana said, they're great leaders. And I think that you have to, you know, empower those people to, you know, that the vision that they have or the thoughts that they have for what they want to do, not only your students and your staff, but you have to allow them that opportunity to do that. And I think feedback is crucial. We also do a building buddy thing that I'm sure a lot of districts do. And we do that every 2 weeks in our district, where it allows our middle school students and elementary students to partner and pair up. It's about 30 to 45 minutes every 2 weeks. And we do activities with our kids. And you would think that, you know, our elementary students thought it was just the greatest thing ever. And our middle school kids have really embraced that time with our elementary and middle school students, just to really work together and see each other and see each other in that moment. But I think it's really set an example for our students, and our staff has really embraced that time because, you know, it takes away learning. But I think those are valuable learning moments that, you know, our kids need to have and our staff needs to see. So, you know, I would say those are some just examples that we have right now.
Thank you. Thank you all for sharing those examples. So Dana, back to you. How do you foster innovation and creativity as part of the learning process?
Well, I think that first we try to build a very strong culture within our classrooms and within our building. We do a lot of cooperative learning in our elementary classrooms, a lot of teamwork, class building, those kinds of things. So then our students feel better about taking some risk in the class. And so I think that has helped them be a little bit more creative because they feel more comfortable in the classroom doing those kinds of things. We do a lot of, for instructional purposes, a lot of inquiry learning kinds of opportunities for our students. So they work in those cooperative learning groups. They have lots of conversations, whatever the topic may be. But not only do they have conversations, they start questioning one another. They start, some maybe have a difference of opinion, and they've learned through our team building and through the class building skills that, you know, it's okay if they have a difference of opinion, and they take those things into consideration when they're doing some of the inquiry learning in the classroom. I think they're finding out that through those kinds of activities that it's okay to make mistakes and, you know, this didn't work out. So what do we need to do? So they're working together, I think, to come up with some of those things to solve some of the problems that have been given to them. And I think another way to, you know, to help that creativity, it goes back, I think, again, to those leadership opportunities. So those students have a voice, and I think it has empowered them. And because they have a voice, again, the culture makes them feel a little bit more comfortable to maybe think outside of the box a little bit, to take some of those risks. And when they're able to do that, then I think they become a little bit more innovative and creative.
Yeah, thank you. And Toby, how about at MMCRU?
Yep. I mean, I think innovation, I think one of the things that, you know, that I talk to our staff a lot about, I say it quite a bit, and if some people disagree, that's okay. I always tell our staff, our students aren't taking math. They're taking you as their teacher. And you know, you may be the best math teacher, but if you can't build relationships with your kids, and you can't, you know, provide the opportunity for your students to feel comfortable, in your classroom, and in that setting, it's going to be very hard for them to learn as individuals or as a team. And, you know, I think for us, you know, I think it comes back to how you set the culture within your classroom and within the district is very important. So you as that teacher, it doesn't mean you got to be easy on kids. It just means that what are you doing to really challenge them? And failure is okay. Because failure, you know, allows you to really rethink what you're doing, and really move forward and figure out, okay, what do I need to do to be successful? And you know, how can teachers best build up and support kids within their classroom in that environment to allow them to be very, very strong, impactful kids along the way. I think that, you know, that inquiry-based learning is very important within our district as well. Questioning, really challenging our students and our staff to really think, is what and how I'm teaching impacting kids? Is teaching and learning impactful? And it allows our staff to question, hey, did that really work? What I was trying to teach them, did that really have the impact I thought it would? Sometimes yes, and sometimes, hey, I need to make some changes myself. So I think really for us, innovation, it comes on both ends. It comes on what are we doing to, you know, provide opportunities for our kids to be, you know, innovators themselves, but what are we also doing to really challenge our staff to really maybe rethink what we're teaching our kids and how we're best supporting them and what we're doing. And I really think for us, that's gone a long way. So
thank you for sharing. And Jake.
Yeah, I agree. Toby kind of hit it really well there with the failure part. It's okay to fail. And I think what we try to do is we try to model that as an admin team. We fail. What we do is in our professional development that we meet weekly, we're trying to, what we model to our teachers will model in the classroom. So whatever we do, that's what we want our teachers to see. And that's how they become innovative and creative. We get them to help support through that professional development, get them out of their comfort zone. I think that's an extremely important part. You're right. You're not just a math teacher. You're the teacher that's teaching them. And so when we do that within our professional learning communities, our teachers, our hope is that that's happening in the classroom. So, you know, if they want to get up and present something that they're doing and sometimes they're uncomfortable doing that, that's okay. We help support them because they're the experts. And that just is a ripple effect into the classroom. And that's what we've been seeing last year, especially with our new structure of our PLC Plus, is that component. Teachers getting up and wanting to do more of it, sharing what they do, getting out of their comfort zone, failing and having the support there with them. So I agree, failure is an important part to be that innovative component. Anytime a student or wants to start a club, they come and see us and we try to support them. We want them to get out of their comfort zone, give them opportunities. Anytime a teacher wants to start a new class, they come to us in December to try to be innovative and give students, more variety of classes. We sit down yearly and sit down with them to try to help support that. If it's a lesson, we have our instructional coaches there to help support them. So it's just kind of a web to help support them get out of their comfort zone and potentially fail. And that's where the creativity part comes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Toby. What do you think are the most important qualities of a successful principal?
I thought a lot about this question when we got it last week. It was kind of one of those things where I think there are so many qualities. I think there are, and try to narrow them down to just, you know, two or three. I think that, you know, you have to be someone that's approachable. You have to be someone that, you know, people can come to. I think you have to be someone that can listen, be collaborative. I think you also have to be someone that challenges not only yourself, but your staff and your district to really be better than they are. And I think sometimes when you challenge people, there's always that pushback of, okay, well, Are you offending me or are you that? And you're not, you're just trying to get the most out of them. And in that situation, I think really, challenging your staff and your students and yourself, I think, you know, that listening component of you have to listen to sometimes not actual the voices, but just, you know, what's it feel like in your building? Like what's going on? So you have to be very aware and very cognizant of that. I really think that you've got to be a very a centered person in regards to the teaching and learning that's going on. So the instructional practices that go on within your district. And I think you also, one quality that I think that I feel I'm becoming much better at is you have to understand that you're not great at everything. And you're just not, and you cannot do everything. And I don't know if that's a quality or not, but I think sometimes you just continue to pile stuff on your plate as a school leader. And I think that a quality is understanding that, hey, you've got to just, it's okay. And that, you're going to get things done. I think that and the last thing I would say with that is you just absolutely have to walk the path of the model that you set out to expect, of yourself and of your staff and of your district. You have to really walk that path and you have to lead and be the example, for the people and the students in your building, in your district. And if you do those things, I think that, you know, everything else works itself out. So.
Yeah, I think you were referencing being self-aware there.
Yep.
You know, just really understanding. So,
yep.
Right, Jake, what qualities are most important of a successful principal?
I think the first thing for me is having that vision, what it looks like, not just today, tomorrow, the next day, but what does the forecast of the next 5 to 10 years look like? What's the mission, vision, and goals that you have? Because that's your baseline, what it really comes down to. I think the next thing is communication. communicating with people, a lot of times the issues that come up is probably, in my opinion, a lack of communication of some sort, or didn't communicate the correct way. So having those communication skills, really easy for me to say, I always think as a principal, like, I'm the problem solver. So people will come in and what they want to do is they just want me to listen. And right away, I'm not listening and I'm trying to solve for them. I think that's an important part for people, for leaders to know, is what is their role. So another part is both Dana and Toby talked about is modeling. I think that's an important part that we model. The next would be creating a beautiful culture, putting our students and staff in a culture where that they can learn, because that has to come first before they get in the education component and learning those components you want them to learn. And then last, has the why, or knows the why, the decisions that you made. It's easier. Because people can ask you, and you do know. If there's a time you don't, then you say, I will bring you back in and give you my wine. So those are kind of the top five that I have for you.
Awesome. Dana, what could you add to that?
Jake and Toby have hit on a lot of them. The most important quality, I think, is building those strong relationships with your staff, with your students, with your parents, with communities, community members, board members, you know, other administrators in your district. If you can't have that positive relationship and you don't have that strong culture within your building, then it's going to be really hard, to be effective, I think, as a leader. I think communication is key. You have to be an effective communicator. I think you have to be a visionary, collaborate with your staff. It's not just your vision. But I think when you start listening to others, you empower others, think about their perspectives, then you all kind of come around to the same kind of vision and do what's best for your students. Cultivating that leadership in others. I think a great leader is great because of the leaders that are around them. So whether that's teacher leaders, student leaders, I think when you surround yourself with them, then you also become a better leader yourself. Be a good listener. I always think of that. This is hard sometimes because you do want to solve the problems, like Jake said, but I think if you really listen to what whoever it is, parent, student, teacher, think before you speak, and just really take into consideration their perspective and kind of where they're coming from. And then be consistent with your actions. I think I spoke to that earlier, but I think that just really being consistent with decisions that you make, and again, follow your policies. That's what you have policies, you have handbooks, you have some black and white things there. Granted, not every decision is black and white. But be consistent and make, the best decision you can for kids. And I think that that'll help you be a very successful principal.
Wow, fantastic. So Jake, what is one way the role of the principal has changed in recent years?
I think just with the demand of the expectations of the the expectations from the state on you need to do these trainings, you need to do these things. Let's talk a little bit, I think, about by either Toby or Dana, of just how to make sure that I'm an instructional leader and not in management. It'd be very easy today compared to 5 years ago to just sit in your office and do the management component, to make sure people have their trainings checked off, to make sure they've done this and they've done that and you're following this and et cetera. And that is, I think, the part that, especially for the spring in a high school level of trying to do a master's schedule, for trying to prepare for the next year, you can get caught up in here. And I think that's changed over the past few years, just with the more expectations that you have, that you want to make sure you're abiding with.
Dana, thoughts?
Totally agree with what Jake said there about that instructional leader component. But something maybe a little bit different that I have seen change drastically in the 20 some years that I have been doing the job is dealing more with the mental health issues and some concerns that our families and students come to school with. And that's not always discipline. Sometimes it comes in the form of discipline, but I think that, a lot of our students come to school with a lot on their plate. And if we don't have those relationships built with them, then we're not going to be able to help them. We need to be a real good listener for them. We can't expect them to be learning in our classrooms whenever they have some of these other issues going on. I think we need to address some of those things first. And I feel like that's been a big shift in what, whether that's me directly dealing with that, or if that's, working with our team, you know, working with the teachers, working with the parents, working with the counselors and those kinds of things to try to get those students where they're in a good place where they can then, you know, focus more on that academic. But I think you have to really build those strong relationships with those students and those families because they come to school with a lot. And we need them to be able to deal with some of those things so they can then focus on the academics.
For sure. And Toby, what do you have to add?
You know, I think both of those examples are probably the two that I was going to really touch on. I think I was probably going to touch a little bit more on the mental health side of it. I think a lot of, at least on my end, you know, the things that our families and kids come to school with, like Dana said, it's a lot. And I think, you know, I've spent a lot of time here the last year and maybe two, you know, when your district is bringing outside services into your building, and they meet with students and families pretty regularly, or, you know, kids are leaving quite often to go to appointments, for, you know, mental health or things like that. I think, you know, some of those things are, it's a big deal. And I think for staff, I think having those conversations with staff about, you know, kids are gone a lot. Why are kids gone? There are reasons. And how can we best support them and get them, not only through it, but best support them on the other side of that. And I think that's one big area. I think the other thing, like Jake said, the managerial piece. If there are principals out there that are managers so that just sit in their office, and that's not me. So I don't even, no offense, sitting here for the last hour has been a challenge, just because I like to get up and move and talk to people and just do things. The instructional component, being out in your building and best supporting staff, I think that's huge. I think that's what all districts need. Are there times when state reports have to be done and meetings have to be had and all of those things? Sure. But I mean, I think the role of the principal in my time, how I've maybe behaved in certain ways, or in things that I've made maybe some poor decisions, or hey, I questioned that decision on, has changed over the course of my time. But I think that overall, I think you've got to understand your role as a leader within your district and how important your role is and the impact it has. And, you know, being that instructional leader and also being that supportive leader for your staff and families and students is so crucial. Sitting in your office is not going to get it done. So, you know, I think that's, I'll leave it with that. So.
Thank you. All right. So now some just very specific district questions. So Jake, I'll start with you. We know how important it is for students to feel a part of the community that they belong to, right? And so how do you foster that feeling at Western Dubuque Community Schools?
Yeah. One of the things is you'll see the Bobcat Nation is what we call it, and every Bobcat matters. And you put all those components together. Again, as I said before, every Bobcat matters. It's just not a sticker on the floor. We're held to a high accountability to that. And we have developed throughout that process a Bobcat time where kids, every day we meet with, it's probably 5-6 years ago, we did You Have a Trusted Adult. We had 110 students that felt like they didn't have a trusted adult at Western Duke High School. So we developed the Bobcat time. We've had this on and off in the past 10 years. But we're very, very intentional about putting students with a teacher for 2 to 4 years to build that trusted adult. And we switch it after the 2 years to try to find another trusted adult. But that alone, those individual meetings. So on Mondays, we do a lesson for SEL standards. Tuesdays, relationship building. If you're not, you're doing SSR or a silent activity. Wednesdays, we don't have it because we have your BLC plus. Thursdays is an SSR strictly. And then Fridays are relationship building. And within that, getting that involvement with the individual student has helped our kids feel like they're a part of something. So within that is, within those conversations, those individual conversations, how do you get kids involved with activities? We have probably 680 some kids involved out of our 900 in some sort of activity. We did research, we showed it with our kids, or with our parents and our kids. If you're not involved in an activity at Western Duke High School, your average GPA is like a 2.7. If you're involved in just one, it's a 3.0. All the way up to 5 activities, like a 3.6. So we're trying to show our kids how to be a part of something. When we have assemblies, we're putting our kids, you know, asking them if they're not wanting to go to them, why? We want to talk to them so that they feel they're a part of something. We're building an addition right now for our cafeteria, which is our entrance. I'm going to put a sticker of all of our communities that kids come from, if they're open to roll or not, of a picture of where they're, each of their towns, so that they know that they're a part of Western Duke. So I think if you put all of that component together, That brings out what we call Bobcat Nation. If you follow us at all on any activities or events, we come, our community, our kids, our parents come in full force. So we will fill the stands because everybody feels they are part of something in that event, Bobcat Nation.
And Jake, you mentioned earlier about service learning, and you've talked quite a bit around the Every Bobcat Matters. Is there anything more that you'd like to share around how that service learning connects to your Every Bobcat Matters motto?
Yeah, so, you know, to add to even Toby and Dana talked about the mental health component of it, like this, the service day started off with just one day and staff leading it to now classes, you know, five classes, academic classes, to mentoring to little kids, to, you know, the two full service days that go with the entire district of elementary, to, you know, serving our community, et cetera, to a Bobcat den for our kids that can't afford food and clothing. We started that throughout this process. And I think once you feel safe, you're fed, you're whatever, you feel you're involved or you're a part of something, that is how you matter. And our goal of that is after you leave high school, when you're here and when you leave, take that to your communities. I believe all of us are part of small communities or been part of small communities, and that's what it takes for these small communities to survive. I grew up that way. I was on the fire department. I went out and volunteered as much as I could. Even when I was younger, my parents thrived on that. They instilled that in me, and I wanted to instill and bring that to our kids, because that's how you help support you know, all of our students here in our community outside. Yesterday, again, I talked a little bit about my daughter and Dan. She got up in front of 1,500 people, and they donated all their medals back for their national things or whoever wanted to. And they donated to the Mental Health Institute. She gets up there and talks about how important it is. That's the ripple effect. She's graduated, but she's taken it beyond this. And that's what I want our students to do. And like I said, I think I have 180 to 200 students next year signed up for a Service Learning 1 or a Service Learning 2. But it's just bigger than a service day. It's everything that they do for our school and our community.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Now we'll go to Toby. So Toby, you've been instrumental in leading work around PBIS and MTSS. Tell our listeners why this work was a priority for you and how it has impacted the MMCRU students.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever acronym you want to use to, you know, whether it be MTSS, PBIS, you know, I think that, you know, for us, it's really been crucial and vital to the success of, you know, our building and our students and our staff, you know, and I don't think you just have to say, hey, we're doing it. That's not what that is. But I really feel that for us to be intentional with that time and how we model and how we act what we do, our MTSS plan at our middle school, how we provide support to all of our students at all levels. You know, we've really found that, you know, early on, especially when we started, we, you know, our fifth grade students had never been together as they had come to our middle school in Remsen. And, you know, we were over the first year or two of whole grade sharing, we were really missing. We had some gaps in learning. We had some gaps in, you know, relationships. We had gaps in maybe some things that we weren't just doing very well. And for us to really look at the systems we had in place and to really develop a time that we do every day. And it looks a little different every day in what we do in relation to our SEL component, the academic component, the supports that are in place for our kids. And then we throw in a little activity time for our kids to just decompress and not really have to worry about so much about the academic rigors of things. It's been instrumental in, you know, our kids being successful, you know, within our buildings, not only academically, but just personally as kids. I think our kids feel very comfortable in our building with who they are and what we are as Royals. And then our PBIS component of that as well. You know, we want to have positive relationships with all people. Every day is not perfect, but I mean, you walk in our buildings, I think on one hand this year, I think I can think of, we had less than 5 incidents of any issue that I had to put into. It's just a very positive building. Very, very few discipline issues, some minor things here or there, but overall, the things that we are teaching our kids and expecting of them and they expect of us as their teachers and staff, I think is big, because it's not just what we expect of our students. You know, we have to model that as teachers. And I think we've done that, and we have the systems in place, and it works very well. The feedback we've gotten from our staff and our communities in relation to the surveys that we've sent out pretty regularly has been very positive. We're always making little tweaks here or there, but overall, both of those systems that we put in place and really invested in have gone very well.
Fantastic. So Toby, you had shared earlier, so I don't know if there's any more to add. You know, you wear many hats, being principal, activities director, et cetera. So how do you prioritize what's most important and then also make sure you take care of yourself? Is there anything to add?
I think I've said it before. I think you have to find what your work-life balance is for you. For me, my family is number one, but at the same time, you know, number two would be work. But at the same time, I don't know anything else. I don't know how not to be busy. I love being busy. I love being at events, not only my family's, but the schools, because they're my, you know, family as well. You know, I think that I wouldn't know anything else. I've learned over the years to say no a few more times than I probably wanted to, but that's okay. Really, there's probably not a whole lot else to add. I enjoy what I do. I think if I didn't enjoy it, I'd probably say no to more things. But I absolutely enjoy being the preschool through fourth grade principal and also the 5-8 principal. They are two totally different things. Your elementary kids still walk up to you and hug you in the hallways and tell you how much they love you. And sometimes the middle school kids are like, just don't talk to me today for about 5 minutes and we're good. But yeah, so it's a really good balance of a profession and a job that I thoroughly enjoy every day. We just started our summer reading and math program this morning here. And before this, I was in there and the kids were thoroughly excited to be here. And two kids already said, I really want to come back to school already. So, I mean, those are good things you want to hear all the time. So overall, no matter what hats we all wear, Jake, Dana, both Tracy and Lisa, I think it's just one of those things that, you know, you have to understand that it's okay. Take on what you can take on, enjoy what you're doing. And if not, then maybe take some of those hats off your plate and go from there. But overall, I love what I do and I wouldn't change it for anything. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, Dana, your turn. You and your staff are committed to planning and implementing student school life with the real world. How have you achieved this? And we'd also love to hear any of those examples to understand.
I think our student leadership program, that Leaders of the Pack program, gives our students those lifelong skills that they need. They work on teamwork and problem solving. They do things to better their community. They do things to better the school through this program. And they also do a lot of goal setting. So they kind of monitor themselves. And we're big believers here at the Bedford Elementary that you monitor what's important. So we model that as the adults here. We model it in our classrooms and then students do that individually. So I think they're getting some real lifelong skills to help them once they, you know, reach some of those real world issues that they might come into. I think this program helps foster independence for our students here. They take a lot of ownership in it and they have a lot of strong leadership within their time that they are down here in the elementary. We also do a lot of, try to do a lot of authentic learning within the classroom. So we try to provide a lot of simulations. We don't want the kids just to learn it. We want them to be able to apply it. They participate in a financial literacy simulation once they learn, you know, various aspects of financial literacy. They learn about the electoral process and through a voting, you know, they don't just read that out of a book. We actually, they take part in it. They go through a voting process and they visualize and understand that just because you might be the popular vote doesn't mean you are actually the person that wins that vote. So they talk about, try to provide them with some opportunities within our own community. We had a group of students that went out and talked with businesses about how do you, you know, what are some skills you have to run your own business? Why is it important to shop locally, especially in a small town? And after they did this, then they created a brochure for our community about shopping locally and things like that. So we try to make it authentic for them. And again, it kind of goes back to giving them that voice. They took a lot of ownership in that brochure of shopping locally, and they probably have some very strong opinions about where you should be shopping here in Bedford. But and that culture piece, again, cooperative learning is huge in all of our classrooms. And it goes back to building those relationships with our students. And I think that they're gaining a lot of real world experience with that on just having positive relationships, how to get along with others, how to view other people's perspectives when it's not just like yours. And I think just having those positive human relationships is giving them that skill to make some real world connections outside of the elementary.
Awesome, Dana. So Dana, earlier you mentioned being selected, your school, as a National Blue Ribbon School, both in 2010 and 2021. So congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell our listeners what this honor means to you and your school community.
Well, we were truly honored to receive that national recognition twice. It was very exciting. And I told my staff, and I truly believe it, it was a testament to their hard work and the dedication from each one of them. I said, we received that award because we have excellent teachers and we have excellent staff that's focused on our students. They've built strong relationships with our students and their parents and our community. They have focused on effective instruction along with those effective relationships that they have in the classroom. And we've worked really hard, I feel, in the last 16 years that I've been at Bedford on building that outstanding culture. And that goes back to those relationships that we've built within the building, but those relationships we build with family and community. And I think that, because of that, we were able to get some of that recognition through both of those awards. Our students were super excited about that award. In 2021, when it was online, in 2010, it wasn't something that our students got to watch. But in 2021, my superintendent and my instructional coach went out there with me. And so all of our students were watching us go across the stage. You send in little videos. There was pictures of some of our students and things here that they were excited about as well. Our students were very, very proud of themselves. And we tried to make it a very big deal that we got this because of them. They are the reason that that we received that recognition and that they should be very proud of themselves. And, to me, probably one of the greatest things about being honored that way was to just be able to share our story, to be able to tell, a lot of people would have no idea where Bedford, Iowa is, a very small rural town in Southwest Iowa. And we were able to go share our story and say, why it's an awesome place to be at a national level. And, hopefully maybe put, our students and our school and our community on a map a little bit. So we are very excited just to be able to share about what it's like to be Bedford Elementary.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Well, wow. Thank you so much. I know our listeners are going to understand why each of you were selected as principals of the year. So you're doing great work. Appreciate all of your comments for our listeners, our members. Thank you so much for serving students, staff, your communities, and for continuing to do what you do day in and day out. So thank you very much. Be sure to join us for the next episode as we welcome elementary principal, Dr. Ryan Marzen of Perry.